Hello, everybody. I'm Lou Dobbs. China is now protesting the West's sanctions against Russia. Xi Jinping clearly aligned with his strategic partner, Vladimir Putin. President Biden on his way this week to attend the NATO summit in Brussels, more military aid to Ukraine, more sanctions against Russia on the agenda. And the United Nations now says 10 million Ukrainians have fled their country, a fourth of Ukraine's population. President Biden facing the strongest attacks yet from Republicans who are demanding investigations of the long-suppressed laptop and its contents. Its owner, of course, the president's son, Hunter. This is the Great America Show, and welcome. Thanks for being with us. Russian forces are consolidating their advances throughout Ukraine. They now have surrounded Mariupol and are demanding surrender of the city. While the onslaught and bombardment enter a fourth week, the two sides continue their talks. They're far from achieving anything substantive. Zelensky wants to meet Putin face to face. Putin says he's willing to join the talks personally at some point. He didn't say what his conditions are or what must be done for those face-to-face talks to actually occur. As President Biden prepares to head for the NATO summit, he finds himself the target of increasingly incensed Republicans, many of whom are calling for full investigations of the Biden family now because of the evidence on Hunter's laptop, because of the intelligence community's complicity in what was without a doubt a cover-up led by corporate news outlets, Facebook, Twitter, and big tech, and of course, the FBI that sat on it for 2 years. A lot to investigate. Our guest today is best-selling author, investigative journalist, senior fellow at the Hudson Institute, Lee Smith, author of The Plot to Overthrow the President and The Permanent Coup. Lee, thanks for being with us here on The Great America Show.
Lou, thank you again for inviting me on. It's always an enormous pleasure and always great fun to be on with you. So thanks so much again.
It's absolutely reciprocal. Thank you. Zelensky, before Congress, speaking alternately Churchillian and then as some sort of neoliberal early post-World War II, trying to create new institutions globally for the preservation of peace. It was an astounding performance. Your thoughts?
I mean, looking at what's happening on the ground, I mean, it's sort of like Zelensky is speaking, I wouldn't say against history, but contrary to history, right? And I'm thinking specifically about NATO here. If NATO is intended or was intended through the Cold War to prevent war in Europe, and what we have now is war in Europe, there's something wrong. And it's not just the problem with NATO it's not just that NATO is a patent failure. It's also that the purpose of NATO and American strategic interest and the interest, the very serious interest we have in stability in Europe, including Eastern Europe, needs to be rethought. So the idea that Zelensky is basically speaking to Cold War era America and Cold War era Europe doesn't really make sense, especially when we understand the nature of the regime now sitting atop the American government.
Atop the American government, and it is a regime that defies expectations. It defies description currently. And frankly, I think most of us have very little idea as to where this all ends up. With this hard left, even Marxist administration, driving an agenda that is simply designed to crush institutions, to crush traditions, and invert American history from exceptionalism to dependency, from great achievements to passivity. Your thoughts about the forces that we are contending with as we have the leader of Ukraine, whose country has valiantly held off the Russian army, But at the same time, we're engaged in a great confrontation in this country as well, aren't we?
Yes, absolutely. And I think that the real tragedy, I think, unfolding here is I don't think that Zelensky or many of the other forces understand what's going on. I'm sure you and I will go into some detail here and lay it out, but I'll just say right now on the surface, one of the things that most people appear to be missing is that while Joe Biden and his validators and the press are painting a portrait of a great American president who is calling on NATO to summon all of their powers. And of course, nothing is happening. And I'm not saying that things should be happening. I don't think that the United States should be making war on Russia's border. The reality is that while Biden is employing this hortatory rhetoric, and while Zelensky appears to believe this stuff, in fact, the Biden administration intends to flood Vladimir Putin's war chest with more money. As many of your listeners will know, it's the Russians who are negotiating with the Americans in Vienna over the Iran nuclear deal. So what's been going on for several months, I think this is another way to understand the onset of the Ukrainian war. So we wonder, well, why now, right? What was going on now? Why did Putin decide to launch this invasion now? And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that Putin understood how important the Iran deal was to the Biden administration. And therefore, as much as the Biden administration would want to respond, would want to start to sanction the Russians, would want to do probably everything short of military force, Putin understood that the Americans were greatly constrained by their own need. And by the way, a particularly foolish need, which is about giving the Iranians a nuclear weapons program. Right. And we can go into that in a little more detail. I just think that, as you said, talking about the nature of this regime, the deceptions, the misdirections. So, I mean, you know, they put Volodymyr Zelensky in the middle and they stage a show in the middle of Washington, D.C., while what's going on in Vienna, not just on the ground in Ukraine, what's going on in Vienna, that's the real show. That tells you who the Biden administration is. That tells you what the regime is like. They want to give a terror state the nuclear bomb. And once those sanctions are off the Iranians, they're going to go out and they're going to buy arms from Putin. They're going to buy nuclear expertise from Putin. They're going to flood his war chest. That's the real show that's going on, not what Joe Biden says on the nightly news or his fake press conferences.
And you know, why give Iran? Why would perversely guided Biden administration want Iran to have a nuclear weapon?
You know, I still do a fair amount of foreign policy writing and foreign policy analysis, but I know during the Obama years, when we were looking at the Iran deal, when we were looking at why Obama wanted to do it, I mean, and, you know, it appeared that there was a stupid purpose, but there was a strategic rationale for it, which was to try to establish a balance of power in the Middle East between Iran and the other powers, including Israel and Saudi Arabia. Again, I thought it was a very bad idea. I thought it was a foolish idea. But Lou, after the stuff that you and I have been looking at for the last 5 years, which includes what's been going on here at home,
yes,
whether it was Russiagate, whether it's the impeachment of Donald Trump, whether it's January 6th, whether it's the COVID as an instrument used against Americans, my assessment right now is much starker and much plainer. Barack Obama wanted to give a nuclear bomb to an anti-American regime. It's that everyone that you and I have looked at over the last 15 years and said, you know, I'm not an Obama fan, but that seems to be taking it too far, that he just hates America. Those people were right. people like me who are trying to come up with some sort of strategic or political rationale, I think we were wrong. I think the fact is it's an emotional, psychological response. And look, there are plenty of people who hate America. New York City hosts hundreds of thousands of them. So the fact that a person like that is controlling important aspects of the American government probably shouldn't come as that much of a surprise. But certainly what we've seen the last 5 years domestically here should give us some sort of indication, as you were saying. I mean, these people just want to burn everything down. American institutions, American prestige. So that's what I think is going on. That's what I think is going on with the Iran deal. While Joe Biden is pretending to be a noble and galvanizing force at the head of a pro-Western alliance, there's something else going on, which is about undermining and destroying the values of the West, the values that this country is built on.
And within the United States, there was a time in the 20s and 30s and 40s, people talked of fifth columns as as enemies built up, forces within an enemy's society, economy, and body politic. Mm-hmm. There isn't a like expression for what is going on here. There is fifth column, but most people can't figure out the. I mean, they just it doesn't seem relevant to our time as a term. But it's more relevant, in my opinion, today than ever before, because there is an aggregation of aligned interests, whether it's Wall Street, the corporatists, the elites of our country, whether in academia or in government or politics. That have formed up against our nation's heritage, its culture, and its history. It's to me an unthinkable evil aggregation, but it is an aggregation that can be measured, that is present, and it is dangerous.
This is essential. I think for the. For our neighbors, our communities, our fellow Americans to understand, you know, when you hear different, when we hear different people, commentators, on the right, but I prefer to things of pro-American commentators, pro-American journalists, pro-American officials, and they point rightly, I believe, they say, well, you know, our real problems are here at home with this regime. Right, because this is the regime that is locking up Americans for January 6th, for people exercising their First Amendment rights, for issuing these insane vaccine mandates. This is our problem, and I agree that is the priority. However, we should not confuse that with the fact that we do have real adversaries abroad. And here is the key fact, which is what you were saying, that the people who are hounding us here are in fact partnered with our adversaries abroad. That's why they want to give Iran the nuclear bomb. That's why, I mean, right now, I mean, it's just taken for granted. There's nothing we can do about the U.S. economy being inextricably linked to that of the Chinese Communist Party.
Right.
And that's because we hear this messaging because everyone is in bed with the Chinese. It's just, everyone just takes it as a matter of fact. Well, there's nothing we can do. So we're just going to keep going on and doing it like this. If you look, I was just checking last night because, you know, if you try to buy anything in this country, especially if you try to buy it on Amazon, it's coming from China. It's made in China. So if you're going to make a decent effort to find something not made in China, it's hard. So I went and I looked to see these different, this one particular item, a Fitbit, to see if this was made in China. And in 2019, in the fall of 2019, October 2019, Fitbit announced that because of Trump's tariffs and because of Trump's trade war, it was going to start moving its operations out of China, its manufacturing out of China. And then I went through and I saw all the other different companies. I saw that Apple at a certain point was going to try to move a lot of its operations out of China to other places in Asia. But a whole bunch of different companies were terrified by what Donald Trump was doing, right? Saying, no, we've got to get out of China. We've got to decouple ourselves from China. And he was actually doing it. And this is what terrified these people. And Lou, I think if we were to lay out a map, put down a timeline, I think this is a large part of the war on Donald Trump. Donald Yes. Trump was threatening the interest of the establishment, much of which are tied to foreign powers. So again, this is why I think, look, we are right to prioritize and say our problem, our immediate problem here at home is Biden's DOJ. It's Biden's FBI. That's true. Except Biden's DOJ also gave a pass to Chinese espionage. So again, I think we need to understand that the bad guys abroad, it's not just that they have bad intentions and they hate America, but our domestic opponents are tied to the bad guys abroad.
And to that point about China, we know the Chinese have more front companies, more spies in this country than any other nation on earth. They may have more spies in our country than we have spies in our country. It is again.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
It is stupefying to think that the Justice Department dissolved its organization to prosecute. Specifically, Chinese nationals who were working in this country, but also working for the CCP and the PLA right. while they were here. And they decided to retire that idea because it was apparently an affront to the communist Chinese who are spying here and have been doing so for better part of four decades.
Chinese press, after this happened, the Chinese press took credit for it. They said the foreign ministry and the Chinese embassy in Washington lodged complaints with the Biden administration, and that's why the Biden administration moved. It's obscene. But look, the thing is, you're right. There are more Chinese spies here than there are American spies. That's absolutely the issue, and it was set up like that. And do you know who did it? It was the academic establishment. It was legislators. It was the business establishment. So they get a whole bunch of cheap foreign labor. Right. They get a whole bunch of cheap foreign labor to work in big tech. Do you know there are 13,000 FBI agents? And even if they're doing the right thing, even if they're not spying on the Donald Trump campaign, even if they're not targeting parents or opposition journalists, let's assume they're all doing the right thing. 13,000 of them compared to the hundreds of thousands of students from the People's Republic of China. I'm not saying they're bad people. I'm sure a lot of these kids come over and they actually want to study. But guess what? They don't have a choice. They only get out of their country if the government in Beijing says, yes, provided you do this, provided you do that. But who set it up? The Chinese didn't force us to have hundreds of thousands of their students. It was our people who set it up this way. So that's what I mean. What I'm saying, our enemies abroad have partnered with our opponents here in the United States. And that's who's eating at us. And I do believe that's a major reason why they went after Donald Trump.
I couldn't agree with you more. And it's so obvious to those who will look to see the alignment of Donald Trump's enemies with the interest of, in particular, the CCP and Communist China. Mm-hmm. And it's also interesting to look at the disinformation, the psychological warfare, the propaganda that was constructed to blunt that relationship between Wall Street and corporatist elite business roundtable chamber. Suddenly, there was a plan in 2016 hatched, as you well know, to connect Donald Trump to Vladimir Putin and to portray him as an agent of the Russians, the feared Russians, while in point of fact, what we had most to fear were Xi Jinping and communist right. China. It's just, you watch this and you think, my gosh, if for having laid this all out, not one of our investigators in the Justice Department, the CIA, the NSA, mm-hmm. DIA, you name it, not one of our foreign intelligence agencies, not one of our domestic law enforcement, national security agencies had the capacity to understand mm-hmm. through whether it's counterterrorism, counterinsurgency. It is amazing to me that we didn't have, first of all, a whistleblower of any kind, but secondly, that yeah. we didn't have any talent that could put all of this together and see it for the conspiracy it was.
I mean, you know, you'll remember the as John Ratcliffe, as you know, as the Trump administration is coming to a close, the director of national intelligence, John Ratcliffe, produced a memo. It was an inspector general's report showing that CIA management, meaning at the time CIA director Gina Haspel, had pressured different analysts a report on election interference.
Right.
In the 2020 election, on election interference, many of these analysts believe that China did play a very sizable role. There was pressure coming from Haspel and CIA management to lessen or to ameliorate that assessment. And why? The rationale given was they didn't want those assessments used to promote Trump's policies. In other words, they were against Trump going hard on China. It's astonishing that the American intelligence community, it's worse than them missing it. Many of them missed it. There were some of them who are actively backing Chinese interests against the United States. Mark Milley. This is astonishing, but it tells you how far this country has gone, or not the country. God bless our great neighbors and our great fellow Americans. How far the corruption has gone in the Beltway. Mm-hmm. When Mark Milley and Bob Woodward's book boasts, oh yeah, you know, things were looking crazy with Donald Trump. So I called my People's Liberation Army counterpart, and I said, hey, if anything bad happens, I'll give you a heads up. And he was celebrated. Right. No one said, wait a minute. We have here one of the top military officials in the country who is openly boasting that he would share classified information regarding troop movements with a potential enemy combatant. This guy has to go. At the very least, he must be fired. We probably have to investigate this now. This is a very serious thing, but it just tells you who these people are, that this was actually celebrated instead of people saying, wait a minute. What's happening? What's happened with the people who are supposed to be governing this country? This is madness. It's not just incompetence anymore. It's madness.
And the left, the radical Democrat, Marxist-driven Democratic Party, up against the Republican Party is not a fair fight. The Republican Party is not gifted intellectually, they are talented in governance.
Yeah, okay.
And worse, they're cowards, and they're lazy, and they're and I'm talking about principally the leadership of the Republican Party. But for them to be the countervailing influence in this society of ours, a two-party system, they're barely a quasi-party. They're not a semi-party.
Right.
They're a quasi-party. Right. And this is one of the difficulties. They're bought off by if they knew how cheaply they had been bought by comparison to what communist China has spent and invested, I mean, they would be they would be crestfallen, but they certainly would be chagrined at the very least.
I mean, you go through, I urge your listeners to go through and just look at the amount, for instance, that Pfizer has spent in Washington, how many lobbyists they have. I mean, it looks like a lot of money, and it's a lot of money, except compare it to how much Pfizer made right? To how much Pfizer made through, I mean, the whole thing, right? What people won't say, but is obvious to everyone, it's like, are you kidding me? So they have the president of the United States, who is basically working for Pfizer, who has controls of the federal government, and says everyone has to get these vaccines, or else you can't work, you can't do anything. I mean, yeah. Right? And the fact that the Republican Party, which is supposed to be the instrument of the pro-America side of American society, is totally bought off as well, and for so little, it's astonishing. And the really dangerous thing about it is, this is supposed to be another one of our checks and balances, right? Not just the three branches of government, but Democrats and Republicans. And that's supposed to be an instrument that's supposed to bring about deterrence. And what happens if there is no deterrence? That you have, as you say, a radical, insane left doing these things to the American public, and no one is protecting them. Well, leadership will arise. Leadership is definitely coming about. And I certainly hope that that leadership, the leadership that is rising, will be responsible and will make its points and will make its arguments through as peaceful as possible, especially given all of the violence employed against Trump supporters. But I think this is a very important thing. If the Republican Party cannot establish deterrence, they're pushing us toward a very, very dangerous situation, right? If instead they're going to join with the Democrats to crush Americans, as they often did during the Trump years, as they often are now, it's a very dangerous situation. We need Republicans, I mean, not just to help defend the country by checking Democrat excesses. It's just madness if they won't. No. What that will lead to in this country is disaster.
And Mitt Romney stepping forward and lining up with the only Republican in the Senate, which is actually something of a small miracle itself, to line up with mandates of the Democrats, I guess a Republican Party that's at least beginning to come to its senses on the issue of science, the relationship to public health policy, and the necessity of watching why people are motivated to be so energetic in removing public rights, our constitutional rights, in the name of public health. This should not happen again, but it's still persisting. It's still, there is a dogged determination on the part of some local officials, some state officials, some federal officials to focus on COVID still and use it as a bludgeon, a hammer against citizen rights. And it's ending, but my gosh, people should look around and say, you know what? The so-called dissidents were right the whole time. The conspiracy theories, you know, it was a theory, but the facts and the theory happened to match up.
So right.
There we are.
You talk about Mitt Romney. I would love to know. I would just love to know who told him that was a good idea, right? Like, who put in a phone call to Senator Mitt Romney's office, or who grabbed his ear at a certain point? Who took him out to dinner and said, you know what? Let's keep forcing people to wear masks on airplanes. That's a real winner.
Yeah,
it had to be
somebody, either, I don't know whether man or woman on his staff, but it had to be the same person that said, hey, why don't we go out there and march with the BLM? They seem like a nice group of people to be associated with.
another genius move, right? Hey, Mitt, you're quite white. I think that we can help you by having you go out there and march and promote a violent group. That's really going to help you a lot. But again, the nature of the conversations that happen in Washington, and unfortunately, this brings us back to the, President Zelensky's speech in front of Congress. What are people talking about inside the Beltway? What is it about their own constituents they don't understand? Which of their constituents, who among Mitt Romney's constituents is saying, you know, you're right. What's happening in Eastern Europe right now is the most important thing to us. Other things are not that big a concern. It just, again, all these things are reflections of this very small and fairly shockingly ignorant place. On the East Coast of the United States, where unfortunately our elected officials and our policymakers work and reside.
And you have to wonder, did the good people of Utah really want a Democratic senator? Because that's what they've got in Mitt Romney. He is a full-on Democrat. But we should have known that. From his record as governor of Massachusetts.
I know. We should have known that in 2012. I mean, exactly. You know, when we go back and think about it, it's a terrible but also terrific irony. You know, all of the establishment Republicans like, oh, Donald Trump, he's an outsider. He's not really a conservative, doesn't really believe the stuff we believe. And as it turns out, Donald Trump in 2016 gets in there and does conservative things, whether he believed in them or not. But before that, we'd had all these different people, presidents like George W. Bush, candidates like John McCain and Mitt Romney said, oh, yeah, we're genuine, authentic conservatives. And at the first moment that they could fold, they folded. Donald Trump stood his ground. And of course, that's another reason why he was swarmed.
All right. Absolutely. And had to be expelled because he was a threat to every quarter of the establishment, left, right, north, south. Every establishment interest was, in fact, in the swamp, and he would not go near it except to try to expunge it. And as you say, that's why 2020 had to happen and unfold the way it did, because the Democrats knew there was only one way to get to Donald Trump. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, I just wanted to say one thing about Donald Trump, because I imagine that maybe to some listeners, people think it's kind of crazy to talk about the former president. Of course, it seems more than likely that he'll be running in 2024. But I think the reason that, you know, I know if you're, you know, you, that you knew you've known Mr. Trump for a long time and you've written about him a lot, spoken with him a lot. And so I don't intend to speak for you. I'll just speak for me. I think that one of the reasons that I refer to Donald Trump so much is because for all his many flaws, but his flaws are human. We're all human. We're all flawed. That it's not just Donald Trump. He represents something. It's not just that he represented. He continues to represent something great and strong and proud and independent about this country. So I think that's one of the reasons that I refer to him. I see him as something, you know, not just an interesting character and an important and in many ways great president, but also as a touchstone. So I think a lot of people are despondent and rightly so, or upset right now. The different, you know, the unconstitutional, the criminal attacks on Americans coming from this regime, and in particular the Biden government at the head of it. It's just disgusting. And to remind people that we are Americans and that we are a people of great resilience and resourcefulness. And again, that's why I like talking about and thinking about Donald Trump, because he seems to be a touchstone for that, to remind, you know, to help remind people that our leadership will come from ourselves and our own communities and who we are. And as we stand up, for ourselves and our loved ones and our great and beloved country.
Yeah, I well said. And I agree with you absolutely about Donald Trump. It's one of the reasons you were talking about his record, what he accomplished, what he, I think, still intends to accomplish. I am one of those mm-hmm. who I can't tell whether this is a judgment or a hope, but I truly believe he is going to run in 2024. Part of that fervent belief is built on my absolute commitment to this country, because I believe he's the leader that we still need. And I wish so desperately that we had better judgment and had avoided what transpired in 2020. I also think, as you said, he had two words that he uttered that electrified the nation and brought into alignment the thinking of left and right, and some opposed and some for. But when he said America first, do you remember how the left-wing media started hooting and howling and braying? And on the center and on the right, people were saying, my God, that has a ring to it. That is those are the words I've been waiting for. And they are the words I think most patriots, nearly all patriots, I would think, we believe in, we thrive on, and we understand to our very souls. Lee Smith, thanks for being with us, sir. You get the last quick word here, and if you, as is our custom.
That's really nice. Well, thanks. I wanted to thank you again. Again, it's always a pleasure and great fun to speak with you. But the idea of America first. Why did this become such a strange idea, right? Why did we need to be reminded of this? And you see now what an influence Donald Trump has had on other world figures like Eric Zemmour in France. I mean, this is it's very moving. We believe in nations, right? We believe in nations that. Nationalism is a good and valuable thing. Patriotism, love of country, love of your community, love of your family. These are all really valuable things. So so to say, we live here, so we're going to put this country first. Why should that be a strange thing? And it's not.
Except to the globalist elitist who have an entirely different plan for all of us.
It's a strange thing if you don't love America. Those are the people to whom it's strange. It's like, why would we put America first? We don't like this country.
Lee, as always.
But God bless America and God bless you, Lou. Thank you so much for bringing me on. Always really a huge treat. Thank you.
God bless you, Lee. Lee Smith. And be with us tomorrow when our guest will be General Michael Flynn. The general and I will be talking about Ukraine, Russia, China, Iran, and the greatest scandal in American history. That's tomorrow, right here on the Great America Show. Till then, God bless you and God bless America.